Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, our gorgeous listeners. How are we all today? My name is Will, and here we have...
When will I see you again? When will we share precious moments? Oh.
Her name is Annie, because she obviously can't speak. She just can only sing. So it's Will and Annie, and we are the hosts of Mysteries of the Unexplained. And you are on episode number 15. That's right, number 15. Not quite sweet 16. 1 year less. Now, this week we need to start off by dedicating this episode to our brand new Patreon subscriber. And that lady is... Emily Ladig. Thank you so much, Emily, for supporting the show. And you are now getting a dedicated episode. And you're also getting a shitload of other episodes from our last podcast, What the Fuck Is in This Book, over on Patreon.
Emily, Emily, just because you are only Patreon this week, this whole episode is dedicated to you.
Now, Annie, this is not a musical episode, so you better fucking simmer down. Right? So don't, Annie, test me. Now, are you ready for a story, Annie Gan?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just want to check one thing. Annie, are you recording for starters?
What?
Right, I'm not even being funny.
Come here. That happened one time, somewhere back in season one.
Answered the question.
And I'd just like to say that it was a technical error. And of course, I'm not some fella that you pulled out of a home, like, to do the podcast with. I have done this before.
Wow. Annie, are you recording, I asked?
Yes.
Perfect. Roisin, press play. In the southwest corner of Pennsylvania sits the small village of Kecksburg, one of many sleepy small villages dotted throughout the United States. This village would find itself at the center of a mysterious event that remains a mystery to this day. On the 9th of December 1965, at exactly 4:44 p.m., strange reports started to flood the police stations in various states across the United States.
Oh, hi. Me and my husband just saw a strange fireball in the sky. It really shook us up.
I was out walking my dog and the sky lit up like Christmas.
Was taking my clothes in off the line and saw a plane on fire falling from the sky. You guys should track it. Oh, those poor, poor people.
Well, it looked like the Lord above had threw a fireball down at those sinful who act all high and mighty.
Can I order a triple cheeseburger and some small fries with a Max Coke, please? Oh, sorry, wait, wrong number.
The residents in the neighbouring states of Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio and West Virginia looked up to the heavens in astonishment as a fireball streaked across the sky, leaving a trail in its wake. Soon reports of hot metal falling from the fireball began pouring in, then reports of grass fires in western Pennsylvania, then reports of sonic booms. But what gives this case even more credence is the fact that a February 1966 issue of Sky and Telescope magazine reported that a fireball had been seen by 23 piloted aircraft streaking across the Pennsylvanian sky by the Federal Aviation Administration. Where was this object headed? Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. A young boy and his mother claimed to have both felt a large thud and witnessed blue smoke rising from a nearby woodland. The mother later saying that her son had been out playing at the time and saw what he said was a metallic object fall from the sky into the nearby woodland, and that she had come out to investigate after she herself had felt the thud. First on the scene were the local firemen with volunteers who searched the area thinking that it may be an aircraft that had gotten into trouble. Firemen had put out small fires and eventually they stumbled across an acorn-shaped metallic object about the size of a small car. What made it even more bizarre is that volunteers described what they saw as Egyptian hieroglyphics that circumvented a band around the base of the acorn-shaped object. Locals reported that state police soon secured the area by cornering it off and restricted locals' movements in and around the area. Next, the US military arrived and doubled down on these restrictions, contacting locals and warning them not to go near the area. Curious locals say that the army removed the object under the cloak of darkness. Local newspapers boldly stated that a UFO had crashed in Kecksburg, further fueling rumours of a crash-landed extraterrestrial craft. I got a little bit tongue-tied there for a second, but I'm back.
Oh my God.
Then the military would dismiss these rumours, saying that the object was nothing more than a meteorite. This does not explain why the area did not have extensive damage done to it. History has shown that when a meteor enters the atmosphere and advances to near the Earth's surface, even if it doesn't reach the ground, it can cause shockwaves that would flatten trees. Furthermore, if the meteor was to make contact with the ground, even a small meteor would cause significant damage, let alone one the size of a small car, as reported. Rumours of a cover-up further escalated when a local news reporter for WHJB Radio by the name of John Murphy reported that he had gone on the afternoon of the 9th of December to the wooded area where the crash had taken place. It is said that John had interviewed witnesses at the scene and even managed to take a number of pictures of the object. Police caught Murphy taking pictures and confiscated his rolls of film, but unbeknownst to the police, he managed to hide one roll of the film. John Murphy's manager, Michael Mazda, managed to develop this roll of film and described what was developed.
It was a cone-shaped object with weird writing on it. The picture sure was dark, but I could still make out this thing, weird as all hell.
Murphy decided to do a tell-all expose on the UFO incident live on his radio show. A time and date was set. Soon, however, two men in dark suits arrived at the station and stated that they wanted to speak to John Murphy alone. This was reported by a colleague, Linda Fosgia. These men were said to have demanded that John hand over all photographs, audio recordings, and any research that he had done on the case. John's planned radio show still went ahead that day, but I can't help but wonder, was the show filled with false information and audio supplied to John to avoid suspicion? Unfortunately, John Murphy was involved in a suspicious hit-and-run accident a few years later while on holiday with his family in California, so we may never know what really happened. Some people believed the craft was nothing more than a failed Russian satellite called Cosmos 96, which was planned to explore Venus. This satellite was indeed acorn-shaped and did crash to Earth on the same day, but it did so not in Keksberg. It had crashed in Canada at 3:18 a.m. 13 hours earlier. Others say it was Die Glock, or the Bell, a top-secret Nazi experimental anti-gravity aircraft, and that the SS officer Hans Kammler had used the craft to escape advancing forces in World War II, and that somehow the craft had travelled through time and crash-landed in Keksberg. What was the acorn that landed in Keksberg? Where is it today? And what do those strange symbols that were engraved on its outer body mean? We may never know. And I just want to start by saying that obviously the Nazi one is the most obvious one because it's the most craziest one. So therefore, it is that one. That's the way I've learned that you have to handle these cases. Like, if someone said that they seen a weird balloon in their yard, it's not just some child's balloon that blew away from a birthday party. It's an alien's balloon that blew away from their ship when they opened the window. These things don't just happen like, they don't happen like that.
Do you know what? I go through strange periods of my life being like, no, there's nothing, you know, it's not, there's nothing, and there's a rational explanation, an earthly explanation for all these things. Yeah. But I'm now in phase, like moon phase of like, it's all true. Mm. It's definitely aliens. It's everything is like everything that I've ever like that balloon that I saw floating through the sky is an alien balloon. Like, it's all around us.
Yes.
It's all around us and we just can't, like, we've been so stupid and why don't people believe this? I think it's tied up.
Monkeys.
Yeah.
We're going around like monkeys.
I think a little bit of it is to do with, I've been doing part two of that Patreon episode, which will be out later this week and that's about aliens as well. And I'm like, oh my God, they're coming for me because I'm reading this book. I think it was aliens. I love the fact that they're like, oh, maybe it was a time traveling Nazi, like, fucking experiment. Yeah, that's
Die Glock.
That's more rational. Die Glock. That's more. Well, no, I would totally give it to the Germans that they were doing that, but not a time traveling. But this is kind of Cold War period, coming into Cold War period as well. Like, it does make me think that it could have been something maybe Soviet. You know, they're always fucking around with stuff. But why wouldn't it do damage if it landed on the Earth? Like, anything with that would obviously create a huge crater, wouldn't it?
Yeah, like I would. Yeah, that's what I thought. And they kind of said that it was a meteor. So if that was the case, then it didn't really add up because there should have been extensive damage. Like even that most recent meteor that didn't even hit the ground. Do you remember it was in Russia, I think?
Oh, yeah.
Only recently, the last few years. And that like blew out like windows, like it caused a lot of damage. And that other really famous event, what was that? Tung Sanga or whatever event that happened in 1800s that like did massive damage as well. But I thought that was very interesting. Yeah, like there, it was around the time of the Cold War, all that whole coming into that whole thing, and it could be very well possible that it was a Russian satellite that did come down, maybe secret one, or maybe they shot it down or used some weird technology to fucking laser it down, and it did fall to Earth or whatever, and that the hieroglyphics that people
know
claimed to see was in fact just Russian writing.
Or else it was a Prometheus kind of thing. I just always think about the Prometheus movie and I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. It's one of their things and it is time travel. And then it's one of the things that they sent back in the past, but it's only coming to us now and it's a message. But then the message didn't get to us because there's men in black stopping the guy putting it out on the radio. I do believe that happened. Who are these people?
Those fucking men in black.
Who are these men? Like, Will Smith is busy these days. Like, he's not one anymore. Like, who's the men in black these days?
I don't know. Maybe they've rebranded. Like, maybe they're, you know?
Yeah, maybe they're.
What do you think?
Who would you like if Men in Black was remade like today? Like, who would you? I know that they had one in later years there, but if they did a whole new movie, who would you like to see in that black suit? Who's your top two? Your top two actors for the role?
I'd like a bit of Morgan Freeman.
Oh,
I think he would bring something to it.
Yes, as the older, kind of wiser of the duo that like is like, oh my god. And who would be the young kid who's always like messing around a little bit, and Morgan Freeman's always like shaking his head?
That's a good one. I think Tom Holland.
Oh, good pick. A bit of Tom Holland. Yeah, I like him.
That's right. I don't just do a paranormal podcast. I also cast actors in major motion movies. This is just a side gig. This is just a little something to take my mind off it. It gets a bit hectic. But I do enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, I know. You're very good at pairing up actors to new movies coming out. Not that there's been any moved in the last day. I went on Netflix last night and I went to new releases and I was like, fucking none of these are new releases. These have all been out for fucking 3 years. And then I was like, oh yeah, nothing's getting made. Kind of like a little bit at a loss. Do you have any, like, does anyone have any recommendations of what to watch next?
I watched that Seaspiracy. You'd probably love that.
Yes.
Very good.
I'm kind of saving that for a day where I think I won't cry as much. Like yesterday, I was like, I'll really cry a lot if I watch that right now. I just think it's going to be really sad. Like, yeah, because it's true. I kind of need things that aren't true right now. Like, I'm kind of hiding from reality in that sort of way. I did, you guys, start watching a show called The Mist last night. Have you watched any of that, Will?
No.
It's cool. No. It's cool. I think you guys might like it. It's a new series on Netflix and it's about this small town in the US and then this really spooky, weird mist starts coming in over the town and like things start going wrong really quickly. It's really easy watching and it's a bit creepy. I think you guys would be into it. I'm only 3 episodes in, but if I don't like something, I usually turn it off during the second one because life is too short for bad Netflix.
So you work for the Men in Black, is it? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I just cancel
trying
things,
to distract us away from this story, is it? Is that what? Well, I didn't know that you, of all people, were a fucking woman in black.
Well, do you know
what? Wow.
These days they have to be a little bit more encompassing of all genders
subtle.
And races. Yeah, I just, you know.
That was very subtle.
Women
and
in
now,
black.
What? Oh, so you're a dog in black, is it? Woof, woof. Is that your code?
Okay.
Very subtle. Direct us away from the alien. Oh, yeah. Very, very subtle.
I think it's time for the next segment of the show now, Will, because you're starting to get a little bit ratty.
Oh, my God. She's trying to silence me.
Ratty.
She's trying to silence me live on air. Sorry, this is my episode, Dog in Black. How dare you? How dare you? She's changing the transmission. Beep, 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 beep. Pageant Queen shares injuries inflicted by ghosts in Ireland's most haunted house. A pageant queen has shared photos of injuries she claims were inflicted by ghosts while growing up in Ireland's most haunted house. Victoria Lily Tully lives in Sharon Rector in Donegal, which is known for being the site of a gruesome murder in 1797. Paranormal investigators often flock to it. I just realised that we should be doing Ask Annie. We'll come back to this news story in 2 seconds.
I was just leaving you off. Sure, I was just said this fella doesn't have a fucking clue what's going on today, but I leave him off. Must have got his tablets this morning. Come on, she might.
I like to kind of just shake things up, but we will go back to that news story in a few moments. And now it's time for Ask Anne Marie.
Do wow, ba da ba da ba da ba ba do boo woo should do.
Ask Anne-Marie anything.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free.
or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ask her absolutely anything. We should just do that. Change. It's changed. There's a lot of change in this episode.
Will you,
but that's good.
Stop.
Oh,
change.
Sleepy. Will you stop? Sleepy listeners are getting used to it. Yeah, well, I'm fucking up your mind this week, aren't I? Yeah. Oh, don't know what's happening. Might even change the theme music. Oh, really shake you up. Annie, I have some questions for you this week. Are you ready? Sit down in the chair, put the spotlight on her, and let's go.
Literally been ready for the last week. Get on with it.
What conspiracy theory would you like to start?
Oh, to start one? I would like to start the conspiracy theory that William O'Hanlon is the first verified human-alien hybrid that we have actually seen in this part of the world. And the reason that they knew is the minute he was born, his abnormally large head and gangly limbs led the doctors to believe that there was actually something very innately alien about him. They took him off, they did the measurements. His hands and his arms and his legs actually were 3 times the length of a normal arm or leg for said baby. They thought he had some kind of hydrocephalus, but that was just his cranium. And they took DNA samples. They didn't say anything to the old parents there because they didn't want to frighten them, and even the homes in Ireland wouldn't take an alien hybrid baby. So they said they'd send him off there and put him into school, sure. And where he went to school, in the back of Wexford, sure, every child was a little bit weird in the head anyway. And I'd just like to start the theory that it didn't come out until later years when he started having his first sexual experiences. When he started to try stick his tongue up people's asses, they were like, this is not the way humans have sex. It's really not. So the mating behaviour of the alien human hybrid really led people to find out that this was in fact...
Oh, sorry, Annie, sorry. I just have to stop you there because there's an overwhelming smell of pure shite after hitting my face. I don't know what it was. Sorry, listeners, I'm just going to have to move on to the next section.
Maybe it's for having your
chocolate toilet bumps. Paper, Annie, over or under, Annie? Toilet paper over or under?
Well, I just wish somebody in this house knew how to put the toilet paper on the holder. He probably stopped listening to the podcast anyway, so that is probably not even going to learn from this. I don't really have a preference. I just wish that people would replace the toilet roll after. I would naturally say over, but if it's under and it's on the hook, I don't really care as long as somebody's put it up on the wall.
Fair enough. And on staying on that team, Annie, where is the strangest place you've urinated or defecated in your life?
What? I don't really think anywhere very strange, like in a field. Only number one though, not number two. I'm not some kind of fucking animal. Like
definitely was number two. No. I'd say it's only number two. Is what it sounds like. Go on.
Although sometimes growing up, we only had one bathroom and seven kids, so sometimes you'd just have to run out the back into the field for a pee.
Fair enough. And Annie, last question of this week's episode is: what would be the absolute worst name you could give your child?
I don't know. What names do I really, really, really dislike? That thing that fucking Elon Musk called his child. Just, there's no need for it.
Oh, obsessed with Elon Musk.
No, there's no need.
You're
for
obsessed.
It. No, there's just no
need. No, Annie,
need
it's
for
getting
it.
Scary. No. I'm a bit afraid. He's my father. I'm a bit afraid, Annie.
There's no need.
Everything goes back to Elon Musk
for
and your hatred for
of
him.
Numbers and then an X at the end. Like, what? I mean, I suppose the child isn't going to go to regular school anyway, which is cool. But, like, what? Just, like, call the child something new.
Annie, I'd be afraid now if I collected you in the future in my Tesla and you just took rage and just started hitting the car like Britney Spears.
Bitch,
I don't know.
You ain't ever going to have money for a Tesla. Like, come on now. You're doing this two-bit pie in the sky podcast with me, right? And for the rest
there's
of it,
there's something there, Annie, and especially with this episode now, and you kind of distracted me with the whole alien thing, and I'm beginning to think you're working for the government and you hate Elon Musk because he's going to expose something, unravel something, and it's just very odd, Annie. I haven't seen you in a good few months face to face, and now I'm beginning to think, are you actually dead? And that this is some sort of AI. Are you after turning into... This will be great for the podcast though, because one of the hosts will be also a story, and I will continue then, and it'll go... I'm going to become some sort of Spotify podcast, like... out of this world show, like, oh, we'll offer you 5 million to continue the show, and I'll be like, oh, thanks, I'll do it in Annie's honour.
Well, you Will, know? I hope you do become
That's
famous.
That's how I get the Tesla.
I hope you do become famous out of it, because I tell you this, your OnlyFans is bombing and you don't know how to work TikTok. So, you know.
Oh my God, wait, now the news is coming back on. They're coming back on with that story, sorry. Thank you for rejoining us here in the studio. Victoria Lily Tully lives in Sharon Rectory in Donegal, which is known for being the site of a gruesome murder in 1797. Paranormal investigators often flock to it, but Victoria has lived in the house since she was born and says she has the scars to prove it. The student and paramedic Victoria, who recently won Miss Bikini Universe Ireland 2021, has been left with scratches, bruises and even burns, which she claims to have sustained in the middle of the night. She said, as soon as I was able to walk and talk, I had an imaginary friend, but it turned out to be a spirit of the house, and I still see her today. She wears a white gown and has long hair. My bedroom is behind the back staircase, and I would constantly hear someone walking up the back stairs. They always get you when you're at your most vulnerable, so it's normally when you're sleeping. The attacks happen at night. One time I was in the shower and scratches appeared on my body out of flaming nowhere. Up until a couple of years ago, I was really scared in the house and refused to walk around by myself, but this is my home, and it's supposed to be my safe place, so I just learned to accept it. The house was built in 1775 by Trinity College and is host to more than 20 rooms, but Victoria's parents didn't know about its history when they bought it. Now they're all too familiar with it. Boo! Victoria's mum Lisa explained...
There was an ambush on the house in 1797 by the United Irishmen to murder Reverend William Hamilton, who was a judge and had administered a hanging that day. Because the weather was so bad, it's always very bad here in Donegal, Reverend William Hamilton went back to Sharon Rectory, where he knew the two residents, but the man who bought him to the house was in it, on it, I don't know what she's saying. They shot in the windows, and he used Mrs. Waller, the resident of the house, as a human shield, so she was shot and killed instead of him. In the end, the servants had to try... drag him out of the house, and he was totally brutally murdered. Now they fleeced him. They said it was so bad his eyeballs were coming out of his sockets. Ah, jeez. Well, at least you've still got your eyes, Victoria.
What the fuck was that? What? Anyway, he deserves it after using...
Routine with the weather.
After using your one...
It's gonna rain.
Now, he deserves it after using your one for a human shield.
Prick.
What a prick.
Absolute prick.
What a
now,
dog.
I have to say...
Absolute
I'd be partial.
Dog.
Like, well, in fairness, I hold my hands up. I use a shield and two. I would.
Will,
I'd be like,
Will,
ah,
you could use a telephone pole as a shield.
Yeah, well, I could. You see, that's the thing. That's the thing, Annie. You're jealous of my weight as well.
I fucking am jealous and of your weight.
Obviously, the AI is learning. Oh, Annie, what would Annie say? You know, I bet you there's a lot of repetition with this AI. Is there?
Are you saying that
What's your real name? Annie code 59252, is it Annie? Huh? There will be malfunctions, and I'm sure there'll be a conspiracy set up about this. I'm convinced. I'm absolutely convinced.
Well, do you know if I was an AI, do you know the first thing I would do?
Oh, go on, AI.
Is that I'd get onto your Grindr profile and I would absolutely terrorise you with catfish.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
That's already happening, so you've obviously infiltrated it.
Yeah, well, it's happening the other way around as well, because I see those filters you do be putting on yourself. Somebody's going to get a fright when you emerge from fucking quarantine, I tell you that. Now, listen, I have to go. I have to go, because it's a nice day here, and I'm going for a walk. I'm going to the beach. Fuck this.
Oh my God, she doesn't care about you, listeners.
I know.
All about herself.
I do, though. I'll tell you.
No, it is,
people.
In fairness, in Annie's defence, it is a gorgeous day here in Ireland. And to be honest with you, this doesn't happen very often.
No.
So,
no.
You can go shite now if you think you're getting an hour long episode out of us.
And I just want to tell you this, after all the abuse that you gave me this fucking podcast, you earlier on pronounced Wisconsin as West Constant. And I just want to highlight the fact that one of us here knows that Wisconsin is pronounced Wisconsin, not West Constant. You are like a savage that was pulled out of a fucking ditch somewhere, you are.
Annie, I will walk the roads, go down there and pull the head of hair off you if you don't simmer down. I'm sick to be back teeth you. Absolutely sick of you.
Well, tell the people where they can find us.
Love you, Annie.
Love you too. Tell the people where I can find us.
You can find us on every page of the CIA.gov website where we have hacked it and put up the real stories. No, don't go there, please. You can find us on Instagram at Mysteries of the Unexplained Pod. You can also get bonus episodes, I don't know how many, it must be about 30 or more bonus episodes on Patreon, of our last podcast, What the Fuck Is in This Book? And let's be frank, it's not much different than this. You can also find us on Facebook. What the at Mysteries of the Unexplained, at Mysteries of the Unexplained, where we also have a little chit chat every now and then, and basically Denise Gallagher runs it first.
Yeah, thanks great. Denise.
Thanks, Denise.
I'm gonna put up
she
one
keeps
of,
the interest going.
I'm gonna put up
as one well of, as the others. Now we do appreciate the other people that post as well, but in fairness, I think we can all put our hands up and say that Denise is running that page.
She kind of is, yeah, and she ain't getting paid for it. I can tell you that
she's not, and there's no money, Denise.
Thanks so much, guys, and don't forget to send in your questions. You can put them on the Facebook group if you've joined, or you can email them into us here. Any questions for Ask Willie, anything, that'll be coming up next week. Oh Jesus, I can't fucking wait. And I'm off now to have a little dip into the Irish Sea, and then spend the whole day trying to recover after it. And yeah, that's it.
Oh, Art of Distraction again. AI, Annie.
Oh,
okay, goodbye. Love you,
up.
Bye. Love you, everybody.
Join us next
Love
week
you, doll.
For more mysteries.
For more mysteries of the unexplained. Or of the mysteries of the unexplained. They're so unexplainable that you will never know, because they are a mystery. That's our new outro. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.